This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your hosts, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil Summers. I'm the girl with the allergy voice today. I've got a little bit of snot throat going on, David.
Lovely. We share that.
That's me, sexy sidekick Sybil.
Right.
All full of snot.
With your swim team T-shirt on.
Yeah, it's
Amsterdam swimming team.
Highly inappropriate.
Yes.
Good thing we're not on a webcam anywhere. We are on phones, though, if you want to give us a call. 877-881-1053. Waddle's here. He's running the board. He's taking your phone calls. And you can fan text us at 43733. Or you can call AutoFlex today, and you should, because it's the last day of the tax-free Flex lease.
That's right, and you can call them at either 817 or 972-234-1234. And what that means, basically, is if you lease a new car from us through the end of the month, you'll be able to save the sales tax, and that's a lot of money savings no one else is offering except AutoFlex Leasing with a tax-free Flex Lease.
Thousands of dollars at your fingertips, and you could use that this summer if you want to take a family vacation in your new car from AutoFlex.
Yeah, you know, you could
save extra money.
Absolutely. You could save $2,500, $3,000 according to the car you lease, and you could sure take a nice vacation on that.
And you know what? It'd be a good graduation present. If you want to send your kid off to school with a new, reliable, safe vehicle.
Yeah, exactly.
Or place to go.
If you want a pre-owned car, we can still do that, and they'll still be reliable and safe.
I love it. Okay, and there's two locations for AutoFlex, Arlington and Richardson.
Yeah, there's one in Arlington on I-20 just west of Cooper, and there's also one in Richardson on 75 just south of Beltline on the west-hand side.
There you have it. All right, good show today. Let's talk about some of the things we've got coming up. I know we are going to talk about the most improved new cars.
Yeah, MSN is their list out of most improved new cars, and I was sort of skeptical when I read through it to begin with because MSN takes a lot of advertising from manufacturers. But there was a song back in the late 60s, early 70s, and it was called Trying to Make It Real Compared to What? And I started thinking about that, and compared to how these cars used to be, there's tremendous change. So it's a good list.
Okay, that's good. So we'll get to that. We've also got Nissan Juke owners, beware.
Well, you know, it's a bit of a problem, or it's not. It's not a big thing, but Nissan's spending a lot of money to keep their Juke owners happy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, an interesting story out of China. If you think things are hectic in an auction here, they say that the Chinese auto auctions are something to behold.
Oh, wow. Do they auction? They have auctioneers, I guess, who are doing it in Chinese?
They do, but there are no rules over there, basically.
Oh, it's just a free-for-all?
Let me just say, beware the yellow cow. We'll explain that later.
Ooh, okay, I want to hear that one. Plus, good news for Honda. After all the tornadoes and tsunamis and all the damages we've experienced through Japan?
Yeah, they're really, really recovering quickly, and we'll talk about it in detail, but they have... As Asians in their factories and their manufacturing, they have a lot more redundant systems than we do here, just traditionally. And Honda has made an amazing, amazing recovery from the earthquake and tsunami.
All right. Well, let's get into the most improved new cars, because I think if you're driving one of these, you'd be interested in hearing if it's improved or not.
Well, and if you're thinking about a car and you've thought about one of these models or maybe you like the way they look, it's something to think about. And you know, again, compared to what... If you compare these cars to the very finest cars available on the market, they may not fare as well, but if you compare them to their predecessor, what was just out, they fare very well. They started off with a Buick Regal, and this is a car that I really like. We test drove this car and gave a review of it a few months ago. It is a huge, huge improvement over the previous Buick Regals. Also, this Buick Regal was actually first sold in China and then brought over here. So that's a little different, but it's a really nice car.
So when they're comparing it, again, comparing it to what?
Exactly.
Is it to the Buick Regal from 2010 and this is the 11 model?
Well, or? It's actually the Buick Regal from about 2008 or 9.
Okay.
And it is a big, big improvement. Interior is really nice. Nice and roomy. It's very, very quiet. It's a great-looking car.
Mm-hmm.
Good lines and really, really neat equipment on it.
Good. Okay. So if you got a Buick Regal in 08 or 09, you might consider upgrading.
Exactly. Chevrolet Cruze is the next one, and they compare it to the Cobalt, and there's really no comparison there. The Cobalt was a poorly, poorly built car. It was loud. It squeaked. It rattled. It had problems. The new Cruze, on the other hand, is built with a lot heavier metal, a lot nicer interior, a whole lot nicer interior, and it's a very inexpensive car that gets great gas mileage, which is a big, big plus.
But the Cobalt was supposed to be kind of sporty, right?
It was, but it was more cheap than it was anything else.
Oh,
I mean, just speaking unbiasedly.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing you get listening to our program. We don't have car dealers that are sponsors.
Right.
And so we can actually talk about cars, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dodge Durango, they didn't have to do much because the old one was really a piece. But
Set the bar low.
It was, yeah, the old one was horrible. But the new one, it's on a unibody chassis. They've taken it off the frame. It's sitting on the floor that's shared by a Mercedes-Benz M-Class and R-Class crossover SUV.
Cool.
So it's really, really a nice car. They've got the new 3.6-liter Pentastar 6 in there. It gets great gas mileage. You can get it in a Hemi if you want to.
Mm.
You got a Hemi? And it's a great car. It really, really is. Dodge Journey, now this may surpass the Durango as being the biggest improvement because the old Journey was really, really not a good car.
Is the Journey, wait, is this a minivan?
It's a crossover.
Okay.
It's a modern station wagon.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, it's a good car. The new one is the 2011. Again, they've got that Pentastar V6 in there. It gets good gas mileage, and it's very smooth and quiet, and the interior is so much nicer than the old one. Now, here's maybe the big story on the market, and maybe because of the marketing, but the new Ford Explorer is really, really selling well. And, you know, Explorers, the mid-90s, they were the car to have.
I remember that.
You know, everybody had an Explorer. But they sort of got passé. People quit buying them. Ford got a little lazy, I think, on the design. Now, with the new 2011 Explorer, all that's behind them. This is a great car. It's a quiet car. It runs and drives well. It's a good-looking car. And it's got very, very, very nice accoutrements. Next car on their list, the Ford Focus, and this is the kicker. This is that great-looking little car that Ford is building. If you're watching American Idol, you're seeing them there. If you're watching TV anywhere, you're seeing them there. Car gets 40 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
And you don't have to spend the money for hybrid technology. It's also lighter, which helps it get 40 miles per the gallon.
Nice.
It's a great-looking car and runs and drives well. Moving right along, Hyundai and Kia are mentioned specifically a lot in this list. And again, as compared to what? I mean, if you compare a Hyundai or a Kia to the very finest car in the class, they may not be better than that, but they're a lot better than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
The Elantra is a good example of that. It's basically about 180 degrees from the old one. So if you drive the old one and drive the new one, it's like driving two different cars.
Is it the same body style or is it new?
No, it's different.
Got a facelift.
Yeah, and then the Kia Sorento is the next car on the list. It's a great little crossover SUV. Again, tremendous, tremendous quality improvements since 2007, 2008, back in there. Then the Kia Optima is on their list. Again, the same kind of thing. That car gets 35 miles per gallon on a 2.4-liter engine, so that's really, really good, and the car is well-built. And finally, the last thing on the list, and this is the one it's a huge improvement again, probably not the best in class, but the Jeep Grand Cherokee is a darn nice car.
I didn't realize they still made those.
Yeah. In fact, a friend of mine just leased an Overland model Jeep Grand Cherokee from me. He came out of a Jaguar moved to an Overland Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great car, and he's very, very happy with it. So it's one of those lists that if you look at it as just as written, you might be misled slightly. But if you look at it as compared to what? Compared to the old ones, the new ones are a lot better.
Right. And if you want to follow along on the list, maybe you're driving and you didn't have time to write it down, or you want to look at the pictures of the old and the new, head to autoflex.com, click on the Facebook or Twitter links, and we post all the stories we talk about right there online. Let's talk about some Chinese auto auctions. I've never been to a car auction. I know they happen pretty frequently, and David, you've been to thousands. But the regular auctions, we always hear the traditional auctioneer rattling off numbers.
Right. And in China, they have the same thing, only it's sort of like the Wild West over there because there's really not a lot of rules when it comes to wholesale of automobiles. Not a lot of rules compared to with results to retail compared to us. But on the wholesale side, it's just crazy. So you end up with a giant auction because they have as many cars as we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up with giant auctions located in metropolitan areas with hundreds of bidders bidding on thousands of cars. But the key is getting the car to the auction because as it's being brought in, they have what's called yellow cows, and that's a very derogatory term. If translated into the Chinese. But anyway, they have these guys that are called yellow cows, and they don't actually go into the auction to bid the cars. They try to buy the cars on the way in the door.
Oh.
They flag over, you know. And if someone new tries to come in and bid cars, they can get beat up.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They're serious about it over there. So you have to get the car through the yellow cows to get it into the auction so that it would actually get open bidding. These guys are all working on the backside, and they're organized. They have groups of these guys that work together, and they bid certain cars up, and they hold certain bids down on cars. And, again, they are they're sort of the bane of the market over there right now, but there's really not much that's been done about them.
Do they work? So they don't work for the auction house. They're just like random.
They're
vigilante guys.
Sort
that
of vigilante
come in?
Guys or groups, vigilante groups that work together.
Scary.
And it's a very closed kind of market. It's you don't just get in there. You don't suddenly go in and bid, or you could be found floating somewhere.
Yikes.
Yeah.
All right. So beware the yellow cows if you're planning to head to a Chinese auto auction.
Well, and the thing about it is the Chinese auto industry doesn't like them. They don't want them there because they want open bidding on the cars because that will actually bring more money. But these guys are snagging people and sort of strong-arming them into selling them cars.
Like so. Ticket scalpers outside the stadium.
With billy clubs. Yeah.
All right, coming up next, if you're a Nissan Juke owner, you will not want to miss this. Or if you're thinking about getting one, we've got some information for you. So stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your hosts, David Blassingame, and me, Sybil Summers. It's Memorial Day weekend, David. Do you have big plans?
It is. I plan on working in the yard.
Good. I like that. I plan on swimming all day. And if you do want to get some auto shopping done before Monday, you could go to Autoflex Leasing because they're open today. Two locations, and right now is the time because the tax-free Flex Lease is taking place.
Exactly. Give them a call at either 817 or 972-234-1234. Talk to them about what you want. They'll get the car there for you. If you want one of our great pre-owned cars, look at autoflex.com. Also, if you wanted to go to our Facebook page, which you can reach at autoflex.com. You can see all of the stories in detail that we cover on the show, plus all of the auto news, the insider auto news from last week. I publish it daily.
And why should they call you?
Because we're the good guys.
That's right. And podcasts, if you missed something, or if we did a list and you thought, well, I missed number one, what was it again? You can always
exactly.
go there.
Yeah, I think we're on not YouTube, iTunes too.
Cool.
Yeah, we're cool.
All right then. So I want to hit this Nissan Juke story real quickly, but then I want to get into black boxes.
Yeah, you know, this is really interesting. Nissan produces the Juke. It's a really cool square little vehicle.
It's cool looking. It's so spacey.
Yeah, and it's got a back glass that wraps around one side, really mm-hmm. sort of off-center. And so it's really, really cool. Anyway, if you get a Juke and you get a two-wheel drive, it's got a 13.2-gallon fuel tank.
Is that big 13, or small?
It's pretty small, but it's a little car, too, and it gets great gas mileage. So
good.
13.2 gallons. If you get a four-wheel drive Juke, which you can get, an all-wheel drive, the gas tank is only 11.8 gallons.
Yikes.
Ooh. Well, and when they did the promotional material, no one thought to differentiate between the two-wheel drive and the all-wheel drive.
Uh-oh.
So now they've got all-wheel drive advertisements and in print ad that say the gas tank has 13.2-gallon capacity, when it's really only got 11.8. So here's what Nissan did, and I think this is a great solution. They'll send you a check for $400 if you have an all-wheel drive and you're disappointed about not having a 13.2-gallon fuel tank.
That sounds like a good way to solve it, but Now everybody's going to come forward and go, I'm disappointed. Yeah. Where's my money?
Well, or you can trade the car in and they'll give you a $400 credit against the car that you get. Obviously, you would be trading it in, I guess, on a Juke with a little bigger gas tank.
Right.
That would be the only difference, that and the other two wheels that drive. So anyway, they have sold about 13,500 Jukes so far this year, which is a bunch of them, and about 4,000 models have the misprinted specs on them. So we're talking 4,000 models times $400 a car, which if everybody takes the money, that's a chunk of change.
Yes, it is. So is the Nissan Juke, did that just come out this year?
I think last year.
2010?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Really cool car.
I like them. They look like little astronaut cars.
They do. They don't have the hamsters. If they had the hamsters in the ad, they'd be really cool.
Right. Okay, so we all have heard of black boxes on airplanes, and that's the one thing that survives in the event of a crash. But now, they might start putting those in cars.
Well, actually, they've been putting them in cars for many, many years.
I didn't know that.
In fact, about 65% of the cars out there have black boxes in them now. Now, they're not actually standardized. Some of them record different things than other of them record. So Congress has sort of standardized the things that a black box in your car will record. And there is a movement by the U.S. Transportation Department now to make black boxes mandatory in all vehicles beginning with model year 2012. So what that means is that everyone's car will have a recording device in it that will record how fast you're going, the direction you're going, if you have a panic stop, exactly when did that happen, how far did you slide, basically. All kinds of information that can be used to investigate traffic accidents.
So it's more, it records more statistical type stuff. It's not like a microphone in your car that records your last conversation.
No. It records what you're doing, the way you're driving, which direction the wheel was turned. Did you have the brakes on? When did you apply the brakes? How long before impact did you apply the brakes? That kind of thing.
Okay.
Now, there's a couple of things because, and they're on almost every car out there. I mean, if you drive a Toyota or a Lexus, you've got them on there. If you drive a GM car, it's got a black box on it. They're, like I say, 65% of the cars have them. They've been putting them in cars since 2005.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing. The trial lawyers have done a tremendous amount of work in preparing for the use of black box data. And the access to that data has been hard to get because it's considered to be your personal business. And there have been a lot of cases where people have tried to get the data and people have sued to not let the data be released in the case of liability claims and things like that. So the Trial Lawyers Association has got a lot of information on the good and the bad. And really, it sort of cuts both ways because if you are the one that got hit and you think the guy was doing something wrong, driving too fast or whatever, then you want the information out of his black box. You
right.
need that for your trial. If you're the guy that was driving too fast, you don't want that information released because that would show you were maybe partially responsible or responsible for the accident.
Yep.
So that's going to be the interesting thing is what the access to this will be. But there is some laws that will standardize the measurements that black boxes take, and those will go into effect on 2013. And they're going to record 15, all of them will record 15 key elements, including vehicle deceleration and acceleration and turning speed and things like that.
So you mentioned that Toyota and Lexus drivers have them, but how do you know if you have one? Is there like a website you can find out?
I don't know. I would go to the manufacturer's website and see if they list anything on that. And you know, if you Google vehicle black box, I bet you can find out.
Yeah.
Google anything.
Yes, you can. And sometimes that's not a good thing.
You can Google Sybil, I bet.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Okay, and before we head to the break, I want to talk about the new labels for fuel economy. And this story kind of confuses me because it seems like we have a new story about this almost monthly.
Well, the administration wanted to grade all cars A through D according to gas mileage.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a tremendous amount of pushback from the manufacturers because no one wanted to, or an F, you know, no one wanted to have a D or an F up on the window sticker of their car.
With a big red marker.
Exactly. And have somebody with an A on their car,
uh-huh.
you know. The other thing was, and I think it was well-intended, but just it's another situation where people that are making the rules don't understand the practicality of the rules or what the rules will do. People were confused. Mm-hmm. What is an A car? What is a B car? What is a C car? What is a D car? You know, it's a, you know, what does that mean? So now we've gone back to numerical ratings for emission systems, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the new window sticker looks not a whole lot different than the old window sticker. You're going to see the miles per gallon. It's going to rate it in the city and the highway. A couple of new things on the sticker. They're going to show you how many gallons of gas on average it will take you to drive 100 miles.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. So that gives you a really, really nice comparison of your car and the other car. The other thing is it will compare the car you are driving to all of the other cars, not just the cars in its class, and tell you where it rates mileage-wise and whether you will spend or save money over the next 5 years compared to the average vehicle on the market.
So it'll tell you if you're not going to save? It'll say exactly. You'll waste money?
Yeah. You'll spend more money or you'll spend less money.
How cool.
The other couple of things that are added is fuel economy and greenhouse gas ratings, and they rate all cars 1 to 10, and a smog rating, again, 1 to 10.
That'll actually encourage manufacturers to, I mean, obviously they try to save you fuel anyway, but now if it's going to be right there in bold letters.
That was the intent, mm-hmm. is they want to encourage manufacturers to build less polluting cars and cars that get better mileage. Now, as a direct result, you get a lot more expensive cars in some cases because you have to add equipment to make them more efficient. You have to add equipment to make them less polluting. So it's going to cost us all, but we'll have more efficient, less polluting cars. Or as we discussed in a show a few months ago, our cars will be like the European cars, little cars that cost a lot. And that's really it.
When do these new labels come into play?
They're going to come out as soon as 2012.
Okay.
And it's really not a bad. The other thing it's got is it's got a smartphone QR code block. And you can read that block with your smartphone, mm-hmm. and it will give you more information on the car and the economy and how they reach those numbers. You can go to fueleconomy.gov, as always, and find out all about the new stickers.
And you can head to autoflex.com and read that story and a whole lot more just by clicking the Facebook or Twitter links. All right, coming up next, we are going to talk about Honda and how they've been affected by all the ongoings in Japan and some of the weather that's hit us here locally in the U.S. So stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, where David Blassingame and I are dancing in studio to this dorky song. I admit, I was about to belt it out just then.
Good for you. Thank
you. It's fun, though. It's a good weekend. It's Saturday. The weather's gorgeous. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's Byron Nelson weekend. Indy 500's tomorrow. Coca-Cola 600's tomorrow.
It's the Nelson, and it's not supposed to rain. What is up with that?
Wow.
It always rains during the Nelson.
It's always hot during the Nelson.
It's going to be 99 today.
Yikes.
Is that crazy?
I can't believe we've gotten so hot so fast.
Yeah.
All right, so
waddle.
If you're out and about and if you're looking for a new car, might I suggest Autoflex Leasing for you? They do have the tax-free Flex Lease going on today, and that's where you can save thousands of dollars if you get a new car from Autoflex.
You can, you know, and let's talk a little bit about shopping for a car, and not particularly at Autoflex, but I ran into a couple of things last week with customers and talked to them or talked to the people that I work with. And there's, if you're shopping for a car, there's a couple of things you should be careful of. Number one, if you're shopping on the internet, you have to be extremely, extremely careful and make sure that someone that is an expert examines the car.
Mm-hmm.
The most it'll cost you is about $100, $125. And you can find out all of the bad stuff that no one wants you to know about. And we run onto this on a regular basis because our customers call us and they've located a car in Missouri or in Atlanta or in mm-hmm. Chicago, and it looks great. It's online. It's pretty. It's shiny. Well, we send a company to examine that car, and we've had cars that they've been totaled and repaired. They've had lemon law titles washed on them. They've been underwater and dried out.
Oh.
And that's a fairly regular thing because if you're trying to get rid of a car like that, where do you go to do it? The internet.
Right.
Because they've got to pay you in advance before you ship the car. And once you have their money and they're in a different state, you really have no liability. So mm-hmm. if you sold them a bad car, they're just sort of hurt.
That goes
to avoid the term screwed.
That goes for just about anything, though. If you're shopping online, you always have to kind of have.
Well, but if it's a new product, if you're buying a new TV online or a camera from you know, online from the manufacturer, you know that's all right. But cars can really, really vary. So if you're going to buy online or if you're thinking of shopping online, get the car inspected because that's the only way you'll know that you're not going to get killed. Never send anyone money in advance. And if anyone asks you for a credit card deposit up front, or if they ask you for cash up front, look somewhere else. Because the only reason they do that is to try to either keep your money or lock you into a deal that's not as good as it's supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
So the old, I need to get a credit card deposit from you over the phone, that's death. Yeah, it is. And you've got to say, you know, send me $5,000 or $2,000 and I'll hold the car for you. That's death. Mm-hmm. If they want to hold the car for you, fine. Don't send them money.
Okay.
Because once they have your money, you're screwed.
Yeah, because either they keep it or you have to get that clunker they're trying to sell you.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's just best if you can see the car you're dealing with. And it's best if you know the company that you're dealing with, because if you don't, you can really get hurt. Okay.
All right, moving right along. Let's talk a little bit about Honda, because when the tsunamis and the earthquakes came through Japan, a lot of their production came to a screeching halt, obviously.
Yeah.
And then there were even some manufacturers here in the southern states, Alabama and places like that, where the tornadoes were affected.
Exactly. You know, and Honda is, has really, really... They've not fared well through this, nor has Toyota. In fact, you're going to hear some advertisement pretty quickly that Kia Hyundai has overtaken Toyota and Honda in sales. Now, the advertisements you're going to hear are going to lead you to believe they've done that because they're such fabulous cars. And they're not bad cars.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason is the earthquake and the tsunami and the limitations that that put on Toyota and Honda just to build cars at all. Toyota was operating at one-third the normal rate for a couple of months. Honda was operating at 50% in a lot of their factories. Even though they didn't have any cars damaged, they couldn't get the components to put the cars together. So all of these manufacturers from Japan have been hurt quite badly. As you said, manufacturers all over have been hurt, but Honda, Toyota mainly have been hurt badly, Mazda also. So you're going to hear Hyundai, Kia talking about they're the number one seller, and they are, but it's a result of the earthquake and the tsunami. Now, Honda is announcing that by August, and this is pretty amazing, they'll be back to 100% production.
Wow, that was a quick turnaround.
It is an amazing quick turnaround. You know, Mike Schmidtke, the PhD that we have on from time to time from Williams and Mary's University, the expert in Japanese business, Mike told us when he was on the air that they have amazing redundant systems over there, that they build redundancies in to the Japanese manufacturing that we don't normally build in here. And it's just for occasions like this, so that if one plant goes down, they can shift production to another plant or part of the production. And all of their plants are able to produce most of the same things. So if they have to, they can move production to another area. But at any rate, on everything except the 2012 Civic, they're going to be at 100% by August, which is an amazing, amazing success story.
Yeah, it really is. And I could have sworn we had a story a while back that was saying it would be at the end of the year when people finally got back on their feet.
We did. But again, the redundancies that are built into their capacities. And of course, Honda builds a lot of cars here in North America, and they build some in Canada. So you get a lot of production out of those vehicles, out of those factories. But the components were the key. That's what was really holding them up.
So good news for Honda. And I wonder if Toyota is going to have to try to step it up now.
Well, you know, Honda and Toyota have both lost quite a bit of ground to Hyundai, Kia and to Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And Hyundai, Kia and Ford have done a magnificent job of filling that void and selling more cars. They've increased their marketing and they have made big headway in being the number one car seller.
Mm-hmm. They seized the opportunity.
They did.
All right. Before we started the show, David came in here raving about a website, TrueCar.com. And what is this all about, David?
Okay. TrueCar.com is a site that you go onto and you register your car, your personal car.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time you have your car serviced, every time you do something to it, you go back to the site and you advise it. And this site does not take advertising. So you get unbiased information from the site, which is extremely valuable because pretty well everything you read has got some sort of a slant to it because of advertising dollars. So It's called TrueCar.com, and they have just released the TrueCar Reliability Survey. Now, this is a tremendous amount of information because they're rating cars up to 10 years old on their total reliability.
Cool.
And you have to sort of temper some of what you see, because when someone gets a car that's 6 or 7 years, I talked to Michael Koresh, the editor of the site, yesterday, and he says when you get a car that's older, people tend to live with things rather than get them fixed.
Mm-hmm.
When it's newer, especially when it's in warranty, they get everything fixed that breaks because it doesn't cost them anything.
Right.
And then, so he says you have two break points. You've got a tremendous amount of reporting when cars are in warranty, and then there's a drop-off. Because then it becomes a value decision. Do I get this fixed because I got to pay for it? Can I afford to get it fixed?
Mm-hmm.
Do I put up with it? So then you got that. And then as the car becomes 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, you become less and less picky about the little things.
Right.
So you've got a bit of a break point in here. But if you go to TrueCar.com and you look at their reliability survey, you can see how many problems your car has had as far as, you know, looking at other people in the survey and the reports that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
But it can help you make a decision, especially on a pre-owned car. If you're looking at buying a pre-owned car, how many times has it gone to the shop? And some new cars also. I mean, there's some things that aren't surprising there to me because I'm in the business, but I bet would be surprising to other people because they see the advertising and they think a car is great and they believe what they read. But then you look at the reality of the reliability of the car and you find out it goes to the shop a bunch.
I'd be interested in hearing about a Range Rover because those are notoriously always needing repairs.
They're great cars. They're built in England and they're built by hand, basically, a lot, which means that there's a lot of tolerance in there, which means things can get loose and wiggle. The other thing is they have tons and tons of gadgets on them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a lot of gadgets, the opportunity for those gadgets to fail is going to be there. The more gadgets, the more opportunity.
Right. So TrueCar.com if you want to find out the inside and out of your car.
And if you register your car and give them the information on it and give them some information on servicing and stuff, then you have access to all their surveys, which is really cool.
Cool. And is it free to do?
It is free.
I like it. All right. TrueCar.com, and you can get to that from AutoFlex.com. Just click on Facebook or Twitter. We've linked all of our stories right there. Do you want to talk about small cars and their crash safety ratings?
Yeah, we've probably got time. This is a big story, and it's a real story. Small cars now have much, much better safety ratings than they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is electronic stability control, because that helps people not go into slides, not roll over, which is huge, because it helps you control the car in emergency conditions. The other thing that's changed, though, is airbags. Small cars now have airbags everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes them perform much better when it comes to side impact, front impact, especially rollover crashes, which are now rated. So the smaller cars, instead of all being poor, the vast majority of them are good. In fact, 13 small cars recently won the top safety pick from the Institute of the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, or the IIHS, as we like to say.
IIHS.
Yeah. Now, that is such a huge turnaround, because if you go back 10 years ago, two or three of those cars maybe would have been rated at the top rating.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's been a big, big, big improvement. Now, here's the other thing, though, folks, and this is just physics, and it still works. If they're driving a Suburban and you're driving a little bitty car, the Suburban's going to win.
Right.
So you still can't overcome that. But with the airbags and with the electronic stability control, you really, really do have a lot safer car in the smaller cars now.
Mm-hmm.
And in a few years, they'll all be small.
And some of the top picks, by the way, were the Ford Focus, the Honda Civic, the Hyundai Elantra, Lexus CT200 Hybrid, Nissan Juke, and Toyota Prius.
Exactly.
So if you want to check that out, autoflex.com, click on Facebook or Twitter. All right, coming up next, let's talk about U.S. drivers and the car market. Is it about to change? We'll tell you next on the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
AutoFlex leads, so yeah. Damn, this traffic jam.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This traffic jam. Time to get home, my supper be good.
Oh, welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blassingame, Sybil Summers, we're here taking your phone calls for another 15 minutes, 877-881-1053. Also, your fan texts at 43733. David has a fan text that...
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. It says, our company has put GPS trackers on all of our vehicles to get an insurance break. Is that true? Okay, first of all, that tells me he doesn't believe what the company told him. That's the first thing. And secondly, it might be. But you have to be very careful about that because there's one company, especially right now, that is promoting we'll put a black box, a special black box in your car, and it'll record how you drive. And if you're a safe driver, it'll save you money. Mm-hmm. But statistically, only about 25% of the people that actually do that save money, which means the other 75% either pay more or they're the same. So I don't know if it's a deal. Now, the trackers on vehicles, if it's according to what you're doing and where you're driving as to whether that would save you insurance money, but I can tell you what it will do, it will tell your employer if you're out goofing off.
Right.
So
how would that give you an insurance break though?
I'm not sure. I think if you were carrying or transporting maybe certain goods and you did it in a certain way, I guess. But I think mainly they're just trying to see. I mean, most of the companies I know that do that, they just want to see where their vehicles are.
Right.
Yeah, and make sure they're not down at LeBaire or something. That's not the right one.
No,
that's a different
if
one.
If you have a female driver,
right,
maybe
exactly.
So.
All right.
AutoFlex is also open today. If you want to give them a call, what are the numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234.
Okay, let's talk about the car market. And I'm glad, David, that you're here to explain this since you are our auto industry expert.
Well, you know, here it is. The car market has changed radically in the past 3-4 years because gas goes to $4 a gallon. People quit selling cars. Big manufacturers that had to keep cars on the road, keep cars selling all the time. When they stopped, they went broke. They went through bankruptcy. It all sort of has happened. And every time that gasoline changes in price, the market on the car changes. Because if you're driving a gas-efficient car, it's worth more. If you're driving a larger car, it's worth less.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we're seeing is a really, really strange thing that's happened in the last 6 to 8 months, really in the last 6 months, and that is used car values have continued to climb steadily each month, which is something historically that has never happened. You have to go back to 2007, 2008, when they slowed down the manufacturing of cars, when GM and Chrysler went through their bankruptcy, when gasoline went to over $4 a gallon, people quit buying cars, everyone slowed down. Well, when they slow down on the manufacturing of cars, eventually that hits the market as less used cars. If they didn't build them new, they can't be used. So less used cars on the market means they're scarce, which means they're worth more money. It's a supply and demand like we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what we're seeing is the last 6 months, we've had steady increases in used car pricing. So if you have a trade-in, it's great because you're going to get a lot of money for it. If you're out looking to buy a pre-owned car, not so great because you're going to pay a little more for it. If you're driving a car that's more gas efficient for the past few months, it was worth a lot. If you had a less gas efficient car, it was worth less. So here's what's happened. Now, all of a sudden, there has been a slowdown in the total used car market. So we're starting to see a swing back where the smaller cars are worth less money. And if you can buy a larger car right now, or a truck or an SUV, you're going to get it at a bargain because they're going to go back up when gasoline goes down. So I guess the optimal thing is, if you're in a little car wanting a big car, it's a great time to trade.
Right.
Because your little car is probably going to go down, and the big car is probably going to go up in value.
You always have to stay ahead of that curve.
You can try.
Right.
We try. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about
National Labor Board. The National Labor Relations Board, this story is out of the Detroit News, so it's got a Michigan twist to it. But basically, the NLRB is saying that that the auto unions need to fall in line. And the auto unions, of course, because they're part owners of the manufacturers in some cases now, are saying they're they're partners of industry. But in the reality of it, and this is, again, a story out of Michigan. The reality is that the National Labor Relations Board is not going to let any of them fall in line or be on anybody's industry side. They're upset right now because Boeing wants to start building planes in South Carolina. They're keeping their Seattle plant open,
mm-hmm.
which is a unionized plant, but they're looking at South Carolina because it's a right-to-work state, which means they don't have to pay union wages there. And they also don't have to deal with union stewardship. They don't have to deal with all the legalities that a union forces them to do, which runs up their cost of operation, which means you pay more for their product.
Okay.
So when you read the union saying that they're going to be partners of the industry, they're going to be partners of the industry if they can control it. Mm-hmm. There's actually a proposal right now from a labor union wanting to not let a company open up in a right-to-work state. They're trying to prevent them from opening up a new facility. Well, if you think any company is going to go into a state and open up a facility where their employees tell them how they can grow their business or where they can open a new business, you're sadly mistaken.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But I think in the next 5 years, 10 years, you're going to see even more. What you've got here is you've got an industry, the unions, which comprise about 12% of the total labor force, wanting control a tremendous amount of the industry in our country. And I think you're going to see a continued decline.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, so we'll keep you posted on that as well.
Okay.
What is this story about U.S. drivers not measuring up? Who are we comparing them to? And dang it, why don't we measure up?
Well, here's the deal. This was written by a writer for Automotive News, a young lady, and she's always very critical of everything she writes about, but I got a little incensed at this because she's critical of American drivers. And she said she drove in Germany and she was so terribly, terribly impressed with how great the German drivers were and how polite they were. And she writes it off to bad driving training. And maybe that is true. I don't know. But I think that I've been all over the world, and I can promise you, American drivers, excluding Houston maybe, American drivers are as good as the drivers you're going to find pretty well anywhere, and certainly better than you're going to find in Paris, in Italy, in France. Greece, for sure.
Scary out there.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, she wrote an article that was very critical of American drivers and said German drivers were much, much better. And I'd be interested to see what everyone else thinks about that. Again, excluding Houston, I think America's got about the best drivers around.
But it also, it's one of those things where wherever you are, you seem to think that everybody around you is a terrible driver. So then that city gets marked as like nobody in Dallas can drive and nobody in Mansfield can drive. And wherever you are, nobody can drive because they don't drive the same way that you do.
You're right. In fact, I had some friends up from Galveston, which is where I'm from. And Galveston's 2.5 miles wide and 14 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
You can't drive more than 40 miles an hour in any direction at any time. You can't. It's all, and they get up here and the traffic just amazes them. How do you drive in this? We don't, we get used to it.
Uh-huh, we do. Yeah, Dallas is, it's hectic out there because if I'm out in the suburbs, it's definitely a slower pace. And when I'm in Dallas, I'm trying to get in where I can and I'm swerving and
I drove down to Galveston again 3 or 4 weeks ago now. And going through Houston, I am absolutely amazed at the drivers down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the difference in Dallas and Houston is remarkable. They are a much more aggressive driver down there. None of those cars have blinker fluid in them. You never see a turn signal. They just zip in and out. They cut people off. And that's just normally the way they drive, evidently, because they all do it.
Right.
It's like it's a competitive situation.
Yeah. But if you're comparing us to Germany, I'd like to think that we win.
I would too.
All right. And speaking of Germany, let's talk real quickly about Volkswagen because they're doing something very interesting with their advertising.
Yeah, they've got an ad running in South Africa right now that is edible. It's advertising their new road-eating Golf R.
Okay.
The new Golf R.
It's in a magazine or it's a flyer
it's
they
a
send
magazine.
You in the mail?
It's a magazine, and you can tear the page out and eat it if you want to.
What does it taste like?
I think it probably tastes a lot like paper, but it's made with things that you can ingest that won't kill you, basically.
I mean, you could probably eat any paper, though, right?
I wouldn't think it would all be good, no. But this is made especially so it could be eaten, and it's because they say that their Golf R is a road-eating machine. Now, the interesting thing is they're going to bring the Golf R to the United States in 2013.
Hmm.
So I'm wondering if we'll have edible ads coming out here in the United States. I've never seen one.
Hopefully so. Lady Gaga could eat one. Did you see her on Letterman Monday night when she ate his notes?
No, I did not.
She didn't like the questions he was asking, so she grabbed his paper and wadded it up into a ball and shoved it in her mouth and started eating it. That's Lady Gaga for you, being crazy. All right.
Okay.
Well, that's about all the time we have. If you want to take advantage of the tax-free Flex Lease, you've got to call AutoFlex today because it's the last day where you can save thousands of dollars. Tell us a little bit about it, David.
Well, you know what? It'll be on the next Tuesday also. So it's next to the last day. But here's the deal. will save you the sales tax. Mm-hmm. That means that 6.25% of the price of the whole car, if you lease a new car from Autoflex, you don't have to worry about it. It just goes away. Here's how it works. We have tax credits that we build up, and we can use those tax credits on new purchases or new leases, actually. So if you come in and lease a new car from us right now, we'll save you the sales tax. It's an end-of-the-month promotion. It's very good for our business, and it's also a great money saver for our customers. So give us a call or go to autoflex.com. Reach us however you want to. Send us an application. Come by and see us at one of the offices. Lease a new car and save the sales tax.
That's right. 817 or 972-234-1234. That's the number you need to call. Thanks to Waddle on the board. Coming up next, it's Chris Arnold. We'll see you back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. For David Blassingame, my name is Sybil. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.